Learn live in the classroom at Online Trading Academy's Financial Education Center in Bellevue. You'll have access to state-of-the-art workstations where you can learn on a professional trading platform. Text Cairo to 57682 to register for a free half-day workshop and learn more.
I got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little fog hat?
Our broadcast week, steamrolling into the weekend. I'm going to see a bunch of Seahawk fans tomorrow morning. Dave Wyman and Ray Roberts and I are doing an event down in Tacoma with a bunch of Seahawks season ticket holders down there on the third and final day of the NFL draft. So if you're among that group, I'll look forward to seeing and meeting you down in Tacoma tomorrow morning. Oh, speaking of music from this era, Sean, have you seen the Tom Petty biography documentary on Netflix?
I have not seen that yet.
Are you a Tom Petty fan?
I do enjoy his music, yeah.
Oh, my
goodness. I saw him back in August before he passed away. It was a really great show.
Well, of course it was before he passed away. Because it'd be a horrible show afterwards.
I know.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dory.
Dory. Because I remember you saying, when he died, I remember you telling us that you had seen him in concert.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I thought the Eagles documentary was the best I'd ever seen. I think it still is slightly better. The thing that blows my mind about all of these best documentaries is how much footage they have. Like family movies from the early 60s and then from gigs they played, before they were known. And it's just unbelievable. It's a 4-hour documentary. And I had nothing but time last week when I was recuperating.
Yeah.
But
I'm sure that's worth
good.
It.
It's just, it
definitely.
Is. It's fantastic.
And I love how they have all that footage, too, like from the Eagles documentary with Don Henley backing for, I think, Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah, backing for Linda Ronstadt. And they got stuff, when they lived in the apartment with Jackson Browne.
Yeah. It's super cool.
It is. But if somebody wanted to do a chronicle of my life, there's no footage anywhere. There's nothing.
Just all of this Facebook Live and all of the CairoRadio.com stuff.
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, I got nothing from when I was younger.
Probably a lot of audio, but maybe not so much video.
Well, that's a problem right now because we just cleaned out our storage room. My wife brought up this huge box of cassette tapes from when I was on the campus radio station at the UW. But I don't have any place to play it.
Need to create a segment where we listen to like 30 seconds from some of your old college tapes, like 30 Second Thursday or something.
Do we have a way to copy it from cassette?
Yeah, there's always a way.
Okay.
Yeah. I know some people who know some people who know some brothers of sisters of people.
Okay, I'll pull some out, as long as it's not too embarrassing. I'd love to hear. I wish I had a broadcast of my first show ever on Cairo. And you do a better job of kind of chronicling and saving
that was my
stuff.
Goal. I don't know if I do a better job, though.
Don't you?
It's really hard in the moment to be like, to kind of go back and get them and really organize that. It's really more work than it sounds like.
I'm amazed at what Howard Stern's done because he owns his entire catalog of shows going back to like the late 80s when he was on Terrestrial. And I have no idea how he secured the rights, but they have a channel where they just do the archival stuff on 101 on Sirius. But the fact that he not only owns all of it, but they have they can put together themed shows because they have it all. He's got a staff of 30
I'm
people.
Sure that
yeah.
One person that's really, that's their job.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But I wish I had my first show ever here on this show on Cairo.
We should ask Felix. He might have it.
I doubt it. I don't think it exists.
There's probably a listener out there somewhere that has something on tape.
I can't imagine.
There's got to be.
Do you know the exact date?
Not the exact. It was either April or May. Oh, we're coming up on the anniversary. It was either April or May of 1995. I was a kid. I was so young. I'd never done a daily show. It was, I didn't know what, I was so intimidated, but I was so fired up too. I was just so excited to get this opportunity.
You fired up?
I know.
How do you stay fired up all these years? And that's a serious question.
Just, are we still doing the mailbag?
From the 206, Sean wants to know.
I think you know, because I conserve my energy off the air.
That's true.
I'm very laid back off the air. I'm not the same person.
Yeah.
From 3 p to noon the next day.
Yeah.
It's just all right here.
Now, it's inspiring, really, to have a radio show for over 20 years and have the same passion for it. It's really nice.
Thank you. That's really sweet, because I'm blessed. I can't believe how blessed I've been with this. And it's all because of fantastic listeners. And I know that you, the listening audience, is the reason that I have such a great job and can work with such great people. Okay, with that as mere prelude, let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
I would encourage you, I saw we got some text messages saying, where's this big expose on Kashama Sawant's finances? I did it at noon today, and I'm not going to regurgitate everything that I did at noon, but I'll give you a little Cliff Notes version of it here. But if you want to hear in detail, just go to our podcast when we're off the air. Listen to Noon Today, because it's really good stuff about Kashama Sawant, who vowed. It just exposes her for the complete, total phony that she is. She's a con artist, and she is trying to climb the socialist hero ladder by conning a bunch of unwitting dupes. And you've seen the people who go to her rallies. They're not exactly the brightest bunch in the world. They're easily conned. And this information that I presented at noon, and I gave full attribution to the website sccinsight.com. And this is just a guy who's a watchdog of the city council. sccinsight.com. Kashama Sawant, she used to be married to that six-figure Microsoft guy. And then I don't know what happened there, but maybe she decided being married to a six-figure Microsoft guy wasn't good for her socialist brand. So she has a new husband. Now, a guy named Calvin Priest. Calvin Priest, and let me explain. Kashama Sawant, she pledged that if she's elected to the city council, she would not take more than the average worker's salary, which is $40,000 a year in Seattle. She would give everything else away. Let's go to her financial documents here. Sawant and her husband have, he has an undefined relationship or interest in a group called 15 Now, an activist organization to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. Also, Sawant and her hubby, Calvin Priest, they have had travel all around the country paid for them by a group called Socialist Alternative. Sawant, in her financial disclosure forms that this SCC Insight dug up, Sawant does give away some of her money that she makes as a city council member. She gives $13,800 to Socialist Alternative, and she gives $11,525 to 15 Now. So about 25 grand she gives away. But guess what? Socialist Alternative, she gave them $13,800. Socialist Alternative spent over $11,000 flying Kashama Sawant and her husband around the world. They flew them to campaign in Minnesota to speak at conferences, to represent Socialist Alternative at national and international committee meetings. And it's all about her building her brand. So the money she gives to this group, they give right back and fly her and her spouse all around the world. So in other words, she's not giving this money away like she pledged. The money she gives to 15 Now, well, guess what? Her husband has a job with 15 Now. And they don't say how much he's paid, but they say between $10,000 and $25,000. Well, so what that means is Sawant gave $11,500 to 15 Now, and they immediately return it to Kashama Sawant and her husband. So this person who says, I'm not going to take more than the average worker's salary, she was lying. She was lying. She takes the money back. She gives it to groups that just turn around, wash the money, and give it back to her in the form of travel and a salary for her husband. She is a complete, total, phony hypocrite. She's like the leader of a cult. And then I also had some good stuff on Seattle City Councilman Rob Johnson, who wants to put the 35th Avenue on a road diet, he calls it. The road diets. That's where they slow down all car traffic so that bicycles cannot use the bicycle lanes. And it reminded me of when I had Dopey SOT had Scott Kubley on the show talking about that issue. You admit by your Times op-ed that a lot of the road diets you're doing are going to slow down trips. And I did a little math here, Scott. For a lot of people, the trips are going to be 3 minutes slower. On roads that carry 20,000 cars a day. So let's say that we take five of the roads you've put on road diets. That's 100,000 car trips a day. You're slowing people down. If it's only 3 minutes, Scott, that's 75 million lost minutes a year. That's 142 years of people's lives that are lost because of the road diet. And you and I agree that that's wasted time. So
Dory, rather than doing math on the back of an envelope, what I would posit is that
Scott, how about not to wait, how about not diminishing my argument like that?
Hold on, just one second.
I had to jump in on him because the last person I was going to let be condescending about my math skills was Scott Kubley, who didn't have any brain power whatsoever, was ethically challenged. And when he went off on that, rather than doing calculations on the back of an envelope, there's one thing I'm really good at, and it's numbers and calculating. And when I heard this dope, this ethically challenged city official, instead of numbers on an envelope, yeah, I wasn't crazy about that at all. It's not math on the back of an envelope, Scott. It's a very valid point that I'm making, and I'd rather if you didn't diminish it with a snide comment.
Dory, I'm not trying to diminish it.
Well, of course you were.
So when we're lowering a speed limit from 35...
Okay, so anyway, and this is why he wouldn't come on my show after these couple of appearances, because we also talked... Let me get to the next story here in the Big League.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Brand new story out today by the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety. Hit and run fatalities are at an all-time high. Traffic deaths among pedestrians and cyclists is raising alarms. They account for 70% of hit and run deaths in America. Last year, pedestrian deaths reached their highest level in two decades. And it is clear that the deadliest way to get around is walking and cycling. Now, the total number of deaths in automobile crashes is higher, but the number of miles that we travel is exponentially higher than the number of miles we travel cycling and walking collectively. So for any individual trip, walking, cycling, driving, walking and cycling are many, many times more deadly per mile, per individual trip per mile, than driving a car. And of course that's true if you're wrapped around. So I brought that up with Kubley when he said, I loved pulling up these archived clips with this guy because it shows how far over his head this guy was. But, of course, he scammed the taxpayers, got millions for his bike share buddies, and then got a six-figure job from a bike share industry after he bilked the taxpayers of this region. And this is from your Seattle Times op-ed piece. You said people who are walking or biking represent 3% of collisions, but 50% of fatalities. And that's why you want to make these changes. If this is truly about public safety, why do you want to get more people walking and biking when that represents the vast majority or a disproportionate share of fatalities? It is clearly, if it was purely about safety, clearly people are safer if they've got a couple tons of steel wrapped around them instead of walking or biking. By the way, do you hear his laugh? His little condescending laugh there. And I don't know if that's because he knows he's in over his head or what it was, but oh, he was a slimy devil.
Has affordability...
Oh, let me back it up here.
You're more likely to die in an automobile crash in the state of Mississippi than you are in a murder in Detroit.
We're not in Mississippi.
I'm just saying, so...
That was his argument. That he found a state with the highest number of deaths. And it was a stupid argument because, again, per mile, we put in, you know, so many million times more in cars than walking or cycling collectively. But that was the depth of this guy's logical skills. And now today we see that, you know, cycling and walking are far more dangerous than driving. And this new study today proves it. But let me get back to my Kubli conversation. Is walking and biking the most dangerous conveyance?
No, I would argue it's actually the safest. It's just if you are hit by a car that's going too fast, it becomes very, very dangerous.
Per mile traveled, there's no question that cycling and walking are far more dangerous than driving in a car. The raw numbers, the total number of deaths in America, higher in cars because we travel so many more miles via car. But he was, oh, gosh, he was a dopey guy. But, hey, he scammed the taxpayers. He's got a big, fat, six-figure job. He was able to just go ahead and do his ethically challenged things here and make out like a bandit. Next up in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Erica is just a citizen. She's got kids in Ballard. She's alerted us to the homeless tents, the encampments, the dangers of it. And she had coffee with Mike O'Brien this morning. I caught up with her before the show. So do you have to be all politically correct now that you've had coffee with Mike O'Brien?
No, I don't think that's in my DNA by any means.
Okay,
from anybody that knows me.
Because your feistiness is one of the things I like about having you on the show, you know. So he didn't sweet talk you and mellow you out?
He definitely tried. It didn't start off quite that way. So I've been going back and forth for about the last 2 weeks with Mike O'Brien. I first called him out when he, at the last meeting, was saying that Barbara's study on our issues and our homeless expert that we hired for $200,000 came back, you know, with all the results. And
yeah, and what happened there, as you know, we broke this a few days ago, Mike O'Brien was lying. He said, oh, no, Barbara Poppy changed her mind. She likes the homeless camps now. And Erica got hold of Barbara Poppy, who the city spent $100,000 on. And Barbara Poppy said, no, I haven't changed my mind. They're a bad idea. It's bad policy.
How much are we spending on these programs? What's the effectiveness rate? And I'll just say 2 weeks later, I have absolutely no data whatsoever. And they told me that I needed to change my invitation for the town hall on May 2nd, the verbiage of my invitation to my fellow neighborhood, in order for them to have coffee with me. So they didn't like how I was messaging.
Wait. So what was the verbiage that they didn't like?
The verbiage was, at that point in time, I said the head tax, and I said the tax on small and big business, because at that time, there was actually no plan. And quite frankly, the plan is even big now. They're asking for the money first.
Yeah, and that's the problem. They want $75 million. It's not going to reduce homelessness at all. I'll make a bet with Mike O'Brien on that. And the reason I want to catch up with Erica, there is a public meeting this coming Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. at Trinity Methodist United Church in my old hood in Ballard, 65th and 23rd. So Trinity Methodist United Church, Wednesday night, 6 to 8 p.m. Mike O'Brien says he's going to be there. And it's time for people to take their city back from these criminals that are running things. That is your Big Lead this hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Ursula's going to check the news. And then on a Friday afternoon, we're going to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week. Coming up next. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora, in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, business owners. Isn't this great? You can listen to Dory anytime, anywhere. If you're listening, your customers probably are too. So you need to give me a call. I can help you out and get your business placed right here in this show. 206-726-6819. It's Tina Sorensen, the General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio.
This is a really solid batch that we have today. It's Friday afternoon, and it's time to count down our favorite sound bites of the entire week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
And one of them we haven't even played yet this week. This is the first time we will have played it. So, and I get kind of tired of these. I'm jumping the gun here. I get kind of tired of these where the guys had dental surgery. Mm-hmm. And they say goofy things as they're coming out of the anesthesia.
Right.
I kind of like this one, though. This is an 18-year-old kid. He got his wisdom teeth removed. Ooh. And he's dating the dentist's daughter.
Oh.
So as the kid starts
yapping. That was his first mistake, to pick the dentist who is the father of his girlfriend.
So as the kid starts yapping, the dentist pulls out his phone and starts recording the kid here.
Number three.
My daughter, I love her so much.
That's good. That's nice of you.
You have no idea. She is the biggest blessing in my entire life. I love her.
Well, I'm sure.
I know, I'm 18, but honestly, I really could see myself marrying her. She can wakeboard. She can do all these amazing things that, and I just love her with all my heart. And I know you're her dad, so that's kind of weird.
Yeah, well.
Like hearing that from me.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's going to be like when.
Man.
Here's a little bit more of the kid.
I annoy you.
Oh, yes, you do.
I know. I know everyone.
But in a good way.
If you ever see Nicole ever again, please just let her know that I love her so much.
Okay. Well, she's down in Mexico right now with all her friends.
Oh, she's probably on the beach wearing those butt crease freaking bathing suits, so all the guys are going to be looking at her.
Finding her another Mexican? No way. Only Jaden.
I'm the only Mexican she will ever love.
Okay, how much of that stuff did the dentist give him?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, man. At number two in our awesome audio, this is the port commissioner back in New Jersey. And the fact that this is number two shows you what a solid week this is. Karen Turner is her name, 60 years old. Her daughter was a backseat passenger in a car that was pulled over. A college friend guy was driving. And, oh, this tiger mom came to the kid's rescue.
Number two.
This is the receipt. This goes on file.
Hi, I'm Karen Turner. Hi. I'm a resident.
Here you go. Now she's flashing her port commissioner credentials like she's some big deal government person.
Okay, fine. I'm Karen Turner.
You're just here as the ride, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm here as a concerned citizen and friend of the mayor. And okay. Been in Tenafly for 20 years. I take full responsibility for them. And what is the reason they were pulled over?
The driver has all the information. He'll tell you.
No. I need to know.
So the cop says, your daughter doesn't have anything to do with this. She was a passenger in the back seat. We're not going to tell you why we pulled this guy over. And you go ask him if you want to know. And she went on for 10 minutes just badgering these cops.
Don't need to know. We're not involved here. You're picking them up?
No, I'm involved. I'm not going to tell you.
He's the driver of the automobile. He's over 18. That's all you need to know.
Okay, so the cops are so cool with this woman here.
Are you a commissioner?
I am a commissioner. One of the commissioners, and I'm heading up.
Do you have an ID for that?
That is my ID, and that is my business card.
So she's explained she's a port commissioner. She also worked finance for the Hillary Clinton campaign, too. She's a big Democrat activist back there, apparently.
I am the commissioner of the Port Authority, and I'm heading up over 4,000 people.
Okay, and she thought being a commissioner was a really big deal.
Here, why were they pulled over, first of all?
Miss.
Now, don't call me Miss. I'm commissioner. Thank you.
Can you believe that? Don't call me Miss. I'm commissioner. This is like such a typical entitled government person.
I would like to understand the rationale
for their being pulled over and their car confiscated.
I just skipped forward 5 minutes. She's saying the exact same thing over and over for 10 minutes.
I'm very disappointed in the way the two of you are acting. You cannot even tell me, a mother living in Tenafly for 20 years with two kids who went through the school system, what's the problem?
Like, any of that should matter in cops telling her why they pulled over some other guy.
You may not tell me when to take my child. You may shut the up and not tell me when I may take my kids and her friends, who are PhD students from MIT and Yale.
Her kids are PhD students from MIT and Yale. Well, they're going to be pretty pathetic adults if Mama is still out there fighting their battles for them. After this incredible video was released by the cops, she had to resign from her $225,000 a year port commissioner job. At number one, I was listening to Governor Inslee on Bill Maher's HBO show last weekend, and he just came across horrible. He was talking about the Starbucks situation.
When racism does not exist, doesn't understand history or psychology. You know, King talked about the long arc of justice.
Right.
It's long, but it bends to justice. Look.
I like Bill Maher. Right. But Jay Inslee, King, Martin Luther King, talked about the long arc of justice. It's long, but it bends to justice. And I was thinking, that can't be right. That can't be the actual quote. And so I did a little compare and contrast here.
Number one.
First, Governor Inslee.
King talked about the long arc of justice.
Right.
It's long, but it bends to justice.
So I found the Martin Luther King speech. I think he said it a little better.
Let us realize that the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice.
The arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Or as Governor Inslee would say,
King talked about the long arc of justice.
Right.
It's long, but it bends to justice.
And it's really arky, too. Today's sign is next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. All right, before we head out into the weekend, it is time for today's edition of
Today's Sign. That the end is near.
Today's sign, the world is soon coming to an end. Dateline, Oakland, California, where a mom sent a picture to a journalist of the pre-prom dinner that her daughter and a bunch of friends were having at the Longhorn Steakhouse. And the mom sent the picture. All the kids are sitting around the table, and they're holding hands with each other, and they've bowed their head in prayer. And the mom said to the journalist, a guy named Frank Somerville, she said, I want to share a picture of my daughter and her friends from prom night. Now, with the stories today about teenagers and Tide Pods and condoms gathering headlines, this picture speaks for itself. And the mom said she was impressed that the kids were confident enough to say grace and pray before dinner out in public. Nice story, right? Wrong. That's when the anti-Christian crowd jumped in to the comments on this picture. One commenter, saying grace over your food says nothing of your moral compass, integrity, or character. Behaving well at a restaurant while in your late teens and being considerate to people should not be Facebook praiseworthy. Another person, I see well-behaved people doing terrible things. Misbehaved people who just take care of someone in need. Being a Christian doesn't mean they're well-behaved. And another, can you imagine? Can you imagine? You see a picture of a bunch of kids saying grace, and that is what triggers a bunch of people? Another commenter. My guess is their opinion on gay marriage, interracial families, equal rights, and other things we hold dear might not thrill you. Oh, I'd love to talk to that person. Oh, I would love to talk to that person. So you believe that all Christians are against gay marriage and interracial families and equal rights?
How idiotic can some of these people on the far left be? And who would decide to get outraged over a bunch of kids saying grace? So much, I gotta log in and register a comment of hatred for these children. Ah! That's what is a source of controversy for the easily triggered now. Just a mom who said, hey, look what my kids did before prom. The reaction is funny, and the reaction, of course, says everything about the commenters and nothing about those kids. But to suggest that people who bow their head in prayer are against equal rights and interracial families is one of the stupidest things I've read in a long, long time. Speaking of which, another one of the stupidest things I've read in a long, long time. At the University of Utah, students during finals week will have the opportunity to relieve stress. Oh, thank goodness. It can be stressful. Finals in college, whoo, can be stressful. How did you cope with stress back when you were in college? I know a lot of people said drinking. I would cope by exercising. Whenever I had stress, I would try to go for a jog or a bike ride or go play racquetball. I would try to deal with stress with exercise. Well, this is 2018, and that's not how you cope with stress anymore. Students at the University of Utah will have the opportunity to relieve stress during finals week by locking themselves in the school's cry closet for a short period of time. The small room is in the middle of the library on the campus. It features a narrow door with a dark lining, a plush floor, and stuffed animals. Stuffed animals inside. A note on the door reads, "A safe place for stressed out students. This space is meant to provide a place for students studying for finals to take a short 10-minute break." So they have cry closets now where you can hold the stuff down. We're talking about 19, 20, 21-year-olds. Pick up a stuffed animal and... I'm serious. Just go for a run. It's a million times more stress-relieving than crying and holding a stuffed animal and wallowing in self-pity. I know that's not a popular message anymore. But I didn't get to the top by saying popular things. Okay, let's see. Today's sign story number three. Gosh. I don't even know how to do this story. So, around the planet Uranus, scientists have revealed what is in the atmosphere that surrounds that planet. And what they said is the entire planet, if anyone were to ever able go there, it would be dominated by smell with ammonia and hydrogen sulfide. Hydrogen sulfide gives rotten eggs their stink, but it's also associated with the odor of human flatulence. And scientists now have confirmed that that is what is in the atmosphere around Uranus. And so, do we have any songs about atmospheric conditions around planets by any chance? Oh, I get it. What does all this mean? Well, it was just published in the magazine Nature Astronomy. And they say, yes, indeed, Uranus is surrounded by a cloud of flatulence. But let's face it, it's only fitting. Okay, I got to get out of here. I've said everything that I have to say for this week. But I'm going to go home, and I'm going to sit around all weekend, and I'm going to think up a bunch of new stuff for next week. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Ron and Don is coming up next, and I will see you back here Monday, high noon. Head up. I wish I was a 21-year-old girl.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.